Ramsey TV.
Yeah, for the most part, I do enjoy the practical questions I get. I love it when people take the scriptures literally, and we must, if possible, allowing for figures of speech, and then the question comes up that just so gives God credit for meaning what he says and saying what he means. An example is from 1 Thessalonians 4:17, where thereupon we, the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them, who? With the dead in Christ, in clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. I love it when people don't take any scriptural statement for granted. We know there is no window dressing in the scripture. There's nothing in here accidental. There's nothing in here that God did not try seven times. When I say try, I don't mean he experimented with it. Well, I tried this six times. Maybe this is seventh time's the charm. No, it's like it's trying to tell us that it's filtered. Every word has been assessed. Every word has been investigated seven times by the FBI. And approved. So the clouds, it hides this event from view. At the snatching away, no one on earth will realize it has happened because it's going to be so small. As you know, I don't buy into the left behind scenario of Christianity where millions of people are going to go away. My friend Charlie Kronk, since deceased, he's going to be one of those guys who rises first. Used to tell me, Martin, 5,000 people a day come up missing in the United States. Have you heard anything about them? Answer, no. Don't know anything about them. Which means that this thing is not going to make a ripple because there are very few members of the body of Christ alive today, in my humble opinion. But I'm basing it on scriptural precedent. After all, 8 people in the days of Noah. Romans 11, Paul talks about the days of Elijah. Elijah thought he alone was the only guy faithful to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob during his life. God said, don't worry, I got 1,000,000 people. No, God said, I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. That's not a lot of people. I would be shocked if there are 7,000 members of the body of Christ. There could be. I think it's more like 700, honestly. We're in days of apostasy. This will be the last week of going through the first idiot in heaven, the 31 differences between the gospel given to Peter from the terrestrial Christ for Israel and the gospel given to Paul from the celestial Christ for the nations. After that, remember what I'm going to do. I'm going to call on you. I'm going to make general videos. I'm going on general topics, but they're going to be very intriguing titles. They're going to be standalone videos. It won't be a part of a series. And you're then going to get these videos out on social media. Because as you know, I don't do social media. I hate social media. It's not that I'm not a social person. I just hate to chit-chat. So just, you need to post this stuff and you will, I know. Difference number 27. And this is often cited by people who are trying to disprove the rapture. And as you know, I hate the word rapture. Rapture is a Blondie song. I don't know where they get that. The Greek is harpazo, the Greek word. It's snatch away, snatch away. It was used to describe how a wolf takes a sheep. The wolf snatches the sheep. It's like a ravenous desire. And it's quick, and it's like, arr. And I have said before, you may have heard me say this in videos or at conferences, that Jesus Christ is the one who is ravenous for us. He's hungry like the wolf. And again, that is a passage in scripture where this word harpazo is used to describe that very event. And this is how you find out what words mean. You look at the word like, okay, we're going to be snatched away. That's the concordant version put two words for a single Greek word there. The idea of is to take forcibly. And if you want to know what a word means, I'm teaching you to fish here. You go to other places where that word occurs. The only way you can find out where that other word occurs is if you have a concordance that lists all the original words, either Greek or Hebrew, and you look them up in other contexts, and the word doesn't change meaning in the other context. It still means what it means, but if you look at it in another context, it will give you the color of it, it will help you to define it, and the translators, ideally, we'll look at all the contexts of a particular Greek word and use the corresponding English word that satisfies every context. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Gospel of the Circumcision, Peter's Gospel. The saved are left and the unsaved are taken out. This is Matthew 24, 38 through 41. Listen to this. For as they were in those days before the deluge, the flood, masticating and drinking. People have made fun of this word in the Concordant Version, masticating. Why don't they just say eat? Why? Because it's not the word for eat. It's a different word. You're not just eating it. You're chewing on it. See, this is the beautiful distinctions. Anyway, in the days of Noah, they were masticating. I wonder how many times they masticated every day. Yeah, close the door before you decide to masticate at home. That's what I would say. They were masticating and drinking and marrying and taking in marriage until the day on which Noah entered the ark and did not know till the deluge came and takes them all away. Takes them all away. Who were taken away? The sinners, the evil people, the losers. They were taken away. Thus shall be the presence of the Son of Mankind. Then two shall be in the field. One is taken along, one is left. Two grinding at the millstone. One is taken, one is left. Who's left? The overcomer, the guy who's faithful, the guy who is following the sound of Christ's voice. This passage is describing Israelites during the tribulation. And the one who's taken, that's bad. But some people will look at that and say that this proves that the snatching away is a false teaching, or proves that nobody's going anywhere, even though Paul plainly states in 1 Thessalonians 4 that in Christ shall rise first, thereupon we the living who are surviving to the presence of the Lord shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds so that nobody can see it. Did I finish my thought there? It's secret. Paul's gospel from the beginning, has Paul is revealing secrets. I'm not saying Paul's gospel is a secret, but to the majority of humanity, it still is. Paul is disclosing things that were hidden from the disruption of the world, hidden from the eons, and he's disclosing them. And so it's right there in your scriptures. It's right there what Paul taught, and yet it might as well be a complete and total mystery, because so few people see it. And as I told you last week, Satan has made sure that he has sown false teachings in front of every essential element of Paul's gospel so that millions and millions of people will be tripped up and they will not find the truth. Why did God do that? For one thing, these people aren't going to be eternally tormented. They're coming in eventually. God did that so that you and I could be approved, so that we could go to just look one layer below the surface, that it would inspire in us a desire, like the Bereans who checked up on what Paul said, and they looked at the scriptures to see if what Paul was telling them was true. This gives us the opportunity to do that, this mainstream apostasy. God does this on purpose. God has done this on purpose. Is it 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? There's a deception in the end times, which I believe we're in now. It says God sends them an operation of deception for them to believe the lie. God sends it. God's in charge of it. Jesus Christ spoke in parables so that the people, the general populace, would not understand him. God wants to make it so that people have to get gritty and dig, get gritty and desire the truth so much that they will put all else aside to pursue it. Now, this is a gift. I know that. There's often been presented to me, this verse that I just read you from Matthew 24, it's often been presented as saying there's no such thing as a secret rapture. These people say, see, you say the righteous will be taken away, but Jesus says the righteous are left. In the example of Noah, the sinners were taken away. Yes, but this is another difference between the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. This is where, when you try to make these two different messages, you try to homogenize them, it doesn't work. But when you separate them in their respective bins, everything's beautiful. Everything is beautiful. Here we go. Gospel of uncircumcision, Paul's gospel, the saved are taken out and the unsaved are left. It's the opposite. Why, after everything we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks from my book, The First Idiot in Heaven, why wouldn't you think it would be the opposite? I've been showing you opposites. I've been showing you how different it is with Israel than with the body of Christ. And the people who say that, well, Jesus' words say that Jesus makes it clear that the saved people are left on the earth. You're saying saved people are taken away from the earth. These people don't realize it, but they're making my argument for me. They're helping me prove my point. In fact, I use these two verses like I'm doing now to prove that the snatching away and the coming for Israel are two different events. I use this verse. They pointed out, well, look at this. Jesus says something different than Paul. I said, you're proving my point. I present these two verses like I'm doing with you today, and I say both of these verses have to be true. This is why I told you last week and what I've been telling you all along, that it is such an honor and it's such a gift God has given you to be able to believe the entire Bible. See, knowing that there are two gospels allows you to believe the entire Bible. Everything is in its respective bin. These are two different things happening to two different groups of believers. And when you try to harmonize verses that are deliberately opposed, you have to either water down one verse or elevate the other one. This is what people do with law and grace all the time. Somehow have to find a happy medium, Martin, between law and grace. Oh, really? How are you going to do that? Well, I'm thinking I might elevate the law just a little bit to make it, you know, less law-like. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to take the grace of God and I'm going to just knock it down a few pegs to make it look more like law. We're going to meet in the middle. Ain't that going to be wonderful? No, it's going to be sickening, and we're going to spit it out of our mouth. God doesn't like that at all. God doesn't like gray. God doesn't like indistinctness. God likes black and white. The entire creation screams of black and white, of darkness and light, of evil and good, of death and life. Let us, my friends, become imitators of God.